Chené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Chené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can watch us, as always, on ESPN Plus. Make sure you do that. Check it out. It's worth seeing our faces in here. Mike Golic Jr. and Chené Agwemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Excited to talk to our friend and ESPN NBA analyst Cassidy Hubbard in about a half hour here. We got Chené's starting five in the NBA. And I like that they have themes, Chené. We have a Google Doc that we put together for the show. We throw all the ideas and information out there. And so, Chené, what is the theme of today's Chené's starting five? It is the five things. We give Chené free reign. Anything she wants to talk in the NBA, just got to do it in a group of five because this is radio. So what's the theme for today?
Who would have thunk? So finish the sentence. My theme is starting five things you need to know. Who would have thunk? Things that are happening right now in the NBA.
Look at us. Who would have thunk? So that's coming up in about 10 minutes. Very excited for that. Our second week doing this feature as we get ready to head into the back half of the NBA season. And Chené, we're excited we get to talk about those things today because yesterday, as we're getting ready to come on the air, we've got an entire show planned, and then the sports world kind of stops all in a moment as we found out about the accident, the single car accident involving Tiger Woods in Los Angeles. Yesterday, Tiger Woods was involved in a car accident, multiple rollovers. We saw the visuals yesterday. We heard about him having to be extricated from the car, and then we heard about him going into surgery, and that was kind of where we left on our show. Well, we got plenty of updates on his status today, and we said yesterday, thankfully, good news. We heard early on the injuries weren't considered life-threatening and aren't now. And for more on what Tiger Woods surgery involved, what it entailed, and the things that went into it, our own Gene Wojciechowski, ESPN reporter, was on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin this morning talking about the process repairing Tiger Woods' leg.
A statement released by the chief medical officer here at the hospital late last night and basically detailed what surgery had been done on Tiger's right leg. And basically they had to piece it back together with rods, plates, screws, pins. His lower right leg, tibia, fibia, his foot. Think of it as a puzzle that you've just thrown on your dining room table, and now you're somehow fitting all those pieces back together again. That's what they did last night. There are still obviously lots of questions that haven't been answered. We don't know to what extent there might have been vascular issues. We don't know what the concerns are, the level of concerns relative to the left leg, if there were any injuries there, and if there were injuries, well, surgeries have to be done there also. We're waiting for those kind of answers, but right now we do know that that lower right leg has been surgically repaired. It was significantly damaged, and it was a significantly long surgery yesterday to take care of that situation. But according to the statement, he's stabilized, he's alert, he's awake, and now begins the very, very long road to recovery.
And where that road to recovery goes, Chené, is a fascinating part of this for me because you can look at it both ways. Our first reaction is incredible relief that this wasn't a tragedy in the truest sense, since we've seen, unfortunately, all too recently. But my question becomes, is this a forced end to a career that has been so many times defined by injury and pain, especially late, especially in the last 5-6 years? Or is it what I'm sure so many people hope for in these instances, and something that I think got reinforced for a lot of people when we saw Alex Smith be able to come back? Is it one of those hallmark moments? And I don't ever want to put that on anyone because it asks so much in a way that's not important. But I think it's where a lot of people are going to go now that we know Tiger's okay.
Yeah, and if you're watching on ESPN Plus, you're seeing a timeline of Tiger Woods and what he has sort of dealt with the last few years. And also in our coverage yesterday on Plus, we saw a lot of the list of the things that he has overcome from an athlete perspective with those injuries, including, you know, rupturing his left ACL, injuring his Achilles tendon, had 4 back surgeries. And then now this being, you know, the thing he was coming from, you know, before the accident was the 5th back surgery. And so this is someone that we've seen time and time again achieve peak performance while probably dealing with less than 100%, which is extremely rare. Because, you know, as someone who's dealt with injuries and still deals with my right knee microfracture, my left Achilles injury, you're never going to be 100% again. But to still, you know, have that competitive fire to go out there and make the most of what you have, that's what Tiger has done better than most people can even perceive, you know, like coming from my, you know, athlete perspective as someone that aspires to get to that type of level. But you're right, Junior. You know, I think this is where a lot of people are relieved that, you know, Tiger and his family, you know, that we know that the circumstances could have gone a different way, and we're grateful for where they are today in the bigger scheme of things, positive perspective, recovery, so that he can be there with us, be there with his family and here with us. But I also think as the athlete, when we think about the athlete perspective, you know, which is obviously secondary, the thing that is the hardest thing for me to reconcile with is we always want to end on our own terms as athletes. We want to say, all right, I've given everything I have to the game, and then sort of hang your shoes up. And the thing that sort of reminds you of that is injuries. You know, when I got injured, I was like, oh, I know this can, you know, be taken away from me at any moment. And he's dealt with that time and time again. But this one just seems a little different. But again, I make the point that based on what he has gone through in the past, he is uniquely equipped to know exactly how to move forward, you know, when it comes to the mental and physical aspect of recovery, which we know that this is going to be probably one of the most challenging ones, but still he is one of the most rare athletes that have dealt with this for over a decade. And that's why we always wish him our best.
And Chinay Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., two-time WNBA All-Star, Chinay Agumake. And talking about that mindset, it's also interesting to think about where Tiger is in life, though, because for you trying to come back from injury right now as someone in your 20s, as someone still in the prime of your athletic career, I remember going through this with my younger brother who had the microdiscectomy, one of the same surgeries the Tiger's had multiple times now, and talking to him about having shooting pain down his legs at night, not being able to sleep, and then him eventually after that surgery coming back and going through and doing a sixth year at the University of Cincinnati, and that drive to, like you said, want to finish on your own terms as best as possible. But you also wonder then, the perspective and the vantage point has to look different at 45, when you've accomplished this much, when your family is something that you're starting to see become a more and more prominent part of Tiger's public life in the way it had for most of us, that you wonder what that looks like from there. Because I think, again, the recency of what just went on with Alex Smith, who's almost a decade younger, different sport, all these things to consider, but a guy who, when he got it back in, when he got a taste, when someone put the football in his hand, as we heard in the GQ story about Alex Smith, it changed the way he started going about this process. It changed what he thought he wanted to be on the other side of this process. And that's the one thing, you're right, Chinay, because of the way the athlete brain is motivated, this is the hardest part to predict. And it's the least important for the overall life sense, but we know how important that's been to Tiger, or else he wouldn't have come back from all these other injuries.
Yeah, and what he's been able to accomplish, everyone says that, like, he is the ultimate competitor. And our own Michael Collins basically said, you know, he was comfortable, you know, being uncomfortable with other people, being uncomfortable around him, because that meant that he was the guy on top and he was the one that everyone was trying to, you know, he was trying to maintain that competitive edge. But the roles have, you know, flipped, as Michael, you know, very eloquently said yesterday. Now he's uncomfortable. People aren't comfortable around him. So like you say, you know, that's the perspective that being in the latter stages of your potential career sort of puts on you. And I think that's the part that we are grateful that we have been a part of, that, you know, getting to witness and experience him and his family, and now knowing that that's all that matters right now.
It's a very different connection point, I think, for a lot of people. We had always seen Tiger Woods as a son. We had seen the shots of him early in his career with Earl, all of those things that were a part of his life. And now I think seeing him as a father is a very different lens for a lot of people to view this through. But the work just getting started for Tiger Woods, the road to recovery that Gene Wojciechowski mentioned Tiger Woods was embarking on, our ESPN injury expert Stefania Bell was on Get Up this morning and talked about the timeline and what goes into Tiger Woods' next steps here.
The first thing is to monitor for infection. You know, they would have cleaned the wound, they put him on antibiotics, and they'll monitor his response. But there could be other soft tissue injuries elsewhere. And when you look at the big picture, it's really hard to make a projection at this point, because this alone with the lower leg, we're talking months, not weeks. And you don't know what else he has to deal with as well.
And there's going to be a lot that we don't know, and hopefully more information that we continue to find out. And as we do, we will make sure we keep getting it to you. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. But coming up next, we all love surprises, and so we're going to give you five of them from the first half of the NBA season. And we're going to do that next. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Chinay Ngola Jr., the podcast. Chinay Ngola Jr.
Celebrate, New York. This is a great day for the Knicks. I mean, you guys got an all-star. You guys are actually right now currently constructed. Who would have thought the Knicks would maybe be in the playoffs and the Dallas Mavericks are not? So, New York, this is for you. Be happy. This is as good as it gets for now, at least.
You can be happy when you make the right decision and things go your way. Or you can be me earlier in this show. Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Ngola Jr. and Chinay Ogwumike, as we talked about the Minnesota Timberwolves coaching hiring situation and very serious things that went on here. We talked about the lack of transparency in that process. And our friend Jimmy Comfort on Twitter tweeted at Chinay, at Mike Ngola Jr. We can get at us. He said, I'll show the Timberwolves work. One, ask Chris Finch if he will take the job, the former Toronto assistant. Number two, make sure the Raptors will let him. Number three, fire Ryan Saunders, in parentheses, white with a question mark. Four, hire Chris Finch, white in parentheses. And that is a reference to the fact that earlier in the show, as I was failing to read the internet the right way, I made Ryan Saunders black in an instance where he most certainly is not.
I will say this. We go the extra mile here on Chinay Ngola Jr. to make sure you guys have the accurate information you need, which sometimes means we are multitasking, perusing the internet while also giving you information. And this was the best worst case scenario because now I can hold it over Junior forever, ever.
Absolutely. It was very fun for anyone watching on ESPN Plus to watch me immediately start sweating as I started fumbling around and mixing up racial
identities.
You know
what can help you? You know what can help you through this? Our app called?
Oh, Swirl.
Yep. Swirl moment.
The dating app that Chinay and Ngumike and I are going to start at some point eventually, so make sure you invest early and get in on the bottom floor. But until we get to that point and start making that money, we got to get you the information you need about the NBA. And Chinay, thankfully, is the one that's going to give you accurate information. She's a great NBA analyst for us here at ESPN. And so, as we've gotten going in the NBA season, we want to make sure you know all of the important things going on, and we do that by giving you Chinay's starting five.
Number five.
We don't have Preble's production for it yet, and so we just get the cool NBA music in this one.
But before we get to number five, you're coming in hot, Cliff. The heat is on the stove. Whoa. I want to give an honorable mention to who would have thunk that Devin Booker would not be an all-star? Who would have thunk that? All right, here we go. Number five.
Number five.
And just to be clear, the theme of this list is just what Chinay said there. Who would have thunk in the NBA right now?
I mean, you would never get this anywhere else in sports. Who would have thunk? That is the theme of my starting five. Who would have thunk that on a day where we celebrate the New York Knicks having an all-star? Oh, the irony. Mark Cuban is dealing with reports of the Mavericks shopping Kristaps Porzingis, and he's claiming that they are not accurate. Again, I said, who would have thunk that the New York Knicks would have an all-star and that the Dallas Mavericks are not currently in the playoffs, even though Luka Doncic, my gosh. Did you guys see that shot? Back-to-back clutch shots to get the win yesterday. Well, still not enough because they're thinking about shopping their star, and that's not the first time that has happened. Number four.
Number four.
Who would have thunk that the Lakers have lost a couple straight, three in a row and four out of their last five? Now, LeBron James is, correct, leading the charge when it comes to the MVP, and tonight will be a great opportunity for him to stake that claim going up against the Utah Jazz, a team that stole their number one top spot. But when it comes to LeBron James, a lot of people wonder about his workload, and I feel like that's his prerogative, okay? Because, you know, playing without AD doesn't mean that he has to be the only reason they win. It's more so Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and getting Dennis Schroeder back that will really dictate this. But who would have thunk that the Lakers, even though they have LeBron James, have lost a couple? Number three.
Number three.
Who would have thunk, y'all, that these teams are hot? Like, heat is on the stove hot. The Toronto Raptors have started the season. They started the season 2-8, and they've since gone like 14-7. And so who would have thought that the Toronto Raptors actually picked up the pieces? But more importantly, who would have thunk that the Washington Wizards actually are on a heat streak, because what were we saying and what do we still say when it comes to Bradley Beal Jr.?
Free him. Free Bradley Beal. Get him the hell out of there.
Leading scorer in the NBA, and who would have thunk that Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal would figure it out? But still, you already know what it is. Free Bradley Beal. Our favorite number. Here we go.
Number two.
Who would have thunk? Oh, do you have something, Junior?
I was just going to say, it's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. We're giving you Chinay Agwumike's starting five right now, just handling the bills and things here. The important information is yours. Number two.
Sorry, I was all the way deep into my bag. All right. Who would have thunk that James Harden, Junior, this is for you. James Harden is in the MVP race.
Let's
like,
go!
He's in there. Who would have thunk that James Harden, after making the move from Houston, a lot of moving parts, whether it is the Houston Rockets in that trade, the Brooklyn Nets, where you had a Kyrie that was sort of on a mini sabbatical, KD that's dealing with COVID, and also coming back from a hamstring situation. Who would have thunk that James Harden is in the MVP race? James Harden is averaging a league best 11 assists per game. The Nets are 7-7 when Harden sits, but 13-5 when he plays, including a 5-1 when he plays without Kyrie and Durant. And last night, what in the world, Cliff? Who would have thought?
Wow.
Look, he's mad because guess who's not on the list? Philly. I'm sorry. Maybe next week there'll be something better.
You caught me slipping by accident because I heard number one, and I'm thinking you were just jumping right from James to number one.
Well, it's good because number one is about the number one team right now in the NBA that are making music.
Number one.
Yes, the Utah Jazz. Put some respect on their names. They're the only team top five in offensive and defensive rating, which means they have an offensive captain by the name of Donovan Mitchell, who, by the way, is one of the best athletes just in a guard's body. And then you also got a defensive captain in Rudy Gobert, who I talked to yesterday. You guys will hear that conversation very soon. A two-time defensive player of the year saying he's finding ways still to improve on defense. And I don't know if y'all missed it. Like a couple nights ago, that man blocked two plays on like two people on one play within like 2 seconds. It was nuts. And they have what's looking like could potentially be the coach of the year in Quinn Snyder. Who would have thunk that the Utah Jazz would be right now, as currently constructed, number one in the standings over a Brooklyn team with a big three, over a LeBron James-led Lakers team and also a Los Angeles Clippers team. So who would have thunk that all these things are happening right now in the NBA?
It's pretty amazing to consider. That Jazz one, you can take all the way back to pre-pandemic, by the way, because remember, everything we went to, they were the epicenter of this. Rudy Gobert was kind of the public face of the beginning of the pandemic for a lot of people. And then there was all that talk about him and Donovan Mitchell, friction behind the scene that all seems to have dissipated, and they've been able to make work at an extremely high level, a level that we still won't reward with any amount of fanfare for the most part in this, because we're waiting for them to do it in the postseason. I mean, it's hard to reward licking microphones too. That's kind of a difficult thing.
Yeah, that is true.
Even though I sit here eating mine every day.
It is true. You do, and I know what happens in break. What you do that mic, that ain't cute. That ain't cute.
Wow.
He burps on it, y'all.
All right, listen. Yeah, I mean that's not really going to surprise anybody here. It's extremely on brand, so I don't know why I'm acting upset about this right now.
I'm upset. He burps on the mic. What else does he do?
We've got investors right now. Chinay mentioned our potential dating app Swirl. Teresa Washington tweets in, how do I get in on the ground floor of this? I need to be a part of it. Do you need digital marketing help, communications help, money?
What are you talking about? Do we need marketing? We're on ESPN Plus promoting our app for 3 hours a day.
That is very true. But we'll take money and all that other stuff in there. That certainly helps right now as we try and get this off the ground and bring people closer together during a time where they've been so far apart. Now, if you want to help people out, also, speaking of ESPN Plus, you can give the gift of a year of ESPN Plus, and you'll give thousands of live events, exclusive originals, a full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise the sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. Coming up next, we got to ask some serious questions about how often and about what we are allowed to use the word dope. We will do that and more. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We'll do it after this word from Indeed.
With Indeed, there's no waiting for real results. Indeed helps you find quality candidates instantly with Indeed Instant Match. You hear that, Minnesota Timberwolves? Yeah, you heard me. Indeed searches through millions of resumes in their database to deliver great candidates who fit your job description immediately. Now, with Indeed Instant Match, 80% of employers get quality candidates right when they sponsor their job. So it's no wonder Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Claim your $75 credit towards your first upgraded post at Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply. Dope. Who does that apply to? And it's one of the all-time greats. And it's not a player. And it made me feel some type of way hearing it all over here on ESPN. That's right after this on Chanay Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at us. Swirl on ESPN Plus.
Chanay Angola Jr., the podcast.
So we got to have a conversation because this apparently came up today, and how it came up was alarming. Chanay Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chanay Agumake. We're excited to talk to our good friend Cassidy Hubbard here in a minute, but Chanay came into our show meeting today and said, "You guys, my ears were bleeding earlier today," and we all stopped and we were like, "Oh my God, are you okay? Like, what's going on?"
That's
in
a
here?
Phrase. People say, like, you know, something happens and your ears are bleeding. Like, it's like too much.
I know, but we work in audio. We've always got headphones and stuff on. I was worried something was turned up too loud. Maybe it was my voice that did it. Now I felt bad about that situation.
The way things go, if one of us, our ears are going to bleed, it's definitely going to be yours. Like, the way that things happen to you. I know, like, y'all, this man did our pre-show meeting laying down because his back hurt. Like, he's old, old.
Listen, I am fully team washed right now. I am living the gospel of the washed crew. I wake up every morning. I've got this great back heating pad. Shout out to my sister-in-law, Jenny, holding
it
down.
No. We're trying to get you a wife, so let's just leave those.
What's wrong with the heating pad? It shows I'm taking care of myself in the same way that I will take care of her.
We gotta keep the swag a mystery, okay? Keep the swag a mystery.
Swag here. I've got no swag. I am the perfect example. We will have a conversation about the word dope and when it is and is not okay to use it. And spoiler alert, it is a very small moving target, especially when it pertains to one old white football coach. But we'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Now we'd like to welcome in someone who is way cooler than me, probably someone who needs to be talking to Chanay a lot more in that, our ESPN NBA reporter, Cassidy Hubbard. You can catch her all over the network covering the NBA. You can catch her on Hoop Streams at times with Chanay Agumake, and she joins us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Cassidy, how you doing?
Way more washed than both of you. And Chanay, stop sounding like a 28-year-old, okay? I'm older than both of y'all. I used to be the young one. I'm telling you, I got multiple heating pads. I got multiple massage items from Amazon. Neither of y'all have been pregnant, okay? And neither of y'all have gone through labor. So there's a whole new level of washed that this 36-year-old is going through right now. And it's a struggle on a daily basis. So, Janae, just enjoy your 20s, because once you hit 30, and I know people are listening, it is just like it's a passage of life. Your 30s are when things just don't work anymore. And then from there, it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say about my 40-year-old friends. I don't know how they're warriors, because I don't know how they're dealing with life
you
on a day-to-day
good,
basis.
Cass. You look good.
I would say, Cassidy, when we're talking about going through childbirth, that makes you grown. That doesn't make you washed. Like, you have accomplished something that the rest of us can only dream of right now. I mean, I can't even dream of it.
Thank you.
Physically be able to do that.
But, you know,
let's hold off on that. As I'm a year into a, you know, quarantine with a 2-year-old. But let's talk about hopes and dreams right now. When it comes to that, may not be on the top of list.
Here with Cassidy Hubbard, ESPN NBA reporter. Also, check her out on Hoop Streams everywhere. And as we talk about hopes and dreams for Devin Booker being in the All-Star game, sort of went away yesterday as the full roster was announced. Obviously, there probably will be a replacement when it comes to Anthony Davis. But do you think Devin Booker is probably the biggest All-Star snub, Cassidy?
Yes, but I at the same time, you know, the whole rule of who are you going to take off? I mean, obviously, we're going to take off Anthony Davis if we're going to cut to the chase. I mean, he's going to be injured. But to me, if I were to say the biggest person I think should be subbed in for someone who made the team, it would be Sabonis for Vucevic. I just think Sabonis and the Pacers are getting no respect. The Pacers are fourth in the East. He's one of the best big men in the league. I mean, they actually have a winning record in the Eastern Conference, which is not the case for half of, you know, the teams in the playoffs right now. And to me, Sabonis should be an All-Star. I understand the argument for Devin Booker. I think, you know, you could argue maybe even for the guy on his own team, Chris Paul. Like, which of those two, if you had to pick two, because are you putting two sons in the All-Star game, you know, off the bat? And I think the answer is yes. But to me, I think the most obvious substitution right now would be Sabonis deserving to be on the All-Star team.
Cassidy, from All-Star snubs to someone who made the roster as a reserve, James Harden, and someone who came over, and that's largely because of the way his season timeline progressed. But since he's gotten to Brooklyn, he's been sensational. He leads the league in assists. Is it too early to start having legitimate top-end MVP discussions about James Harden?
I think it is too early. I think they still have a lot of kinks to work out. I think I really want to see them at full go with, you know, Harden being the full-time playmaker, with Kevin Durant back healthy. You know, that is a lot of firepower to deal with, and that's going to be a balancing act. We've heard all season just about how these teams haven't had any sort of practice time together, and as we're going to be seeing in the next week even, you know, they have this All-Star break, but it's really not much of a break, and then they're going to have to, you know, get back to this schedule right away, quarantine for 2 days. So I think they still have a lot to kind of work out, but he, I mean, what he's been doing has been sensational, and anyone who is, you know, just astonished by what James Harden is doing on the playmaking side hasn't been watching James Harden in the Houston Rockets the last couple of years. I mean, his passing ability has been, you know, arguably his greatest, one of his greatest strengths. And I think what the biggest thing is, you know, we've heard Anthony Davis say this, like, am I winning because we're happy, or am I happy because we're winning? And you're really seeing James Harden happy. And, you know, I kind of rolled my eyes a little bit, you know, to myself in his interview with Rachel Nichols, where he was talking about, you know, like he just wasn't happy in Houston having to go out and, you know, put up 40 to win games. And I'm like, really? Like, that's what you want to do? But it's you kind of see, like, he has this passion and he's this drive to be involved in the game the way that he is right now on the playmaking side. And so you know, maybe he maybe this is really, you know, the best fit for him. Maybe being surrounded by two, you know, future Hall of Famers and explosive scorers is the best fit for him. But look, I don't know right now. I still have LeBron James and Joel Embiid, you know, as the MVP favorites. And I think LeBron James without Anthony Davis has an opportunity to really, you know, if they can find some more success here. You know, going through a rough patch here with the Lakers, and they have a tough task tonight with the Jazz. But, you know, this is where he can really make his case to have a stronghold on the MVP if he continues to keep them in contention without AD.
The great Cassidy Hubbard, you can check her out covering the NBA for us here at ESPN. Watch hoop streams digitally wherever you stream those kinds of things. And Cassidy, you are always welcome. This is a safe space for coming and being washed. Don't listen to anything Shanae says.
She's the James Harden of hoop
My
streams.
Knee hurts so bad right now, too. It, like, has a buzzing. I don't know if you deal with that, too. All right, I'm going to go on ice and, you know, continue to watch you guys on the TV and listen to you on the radio. Love you both.
We love you, Cassidy, the best in the business. Cassidy Hubbard, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline right now in support of heating pads. Hannah Stuvengen hit us up on the I'm giving sponsors credit for Twitter feeds that aren't theirs right now. Hit us up on Twitter, and Hannah said, my best friend's dad used to say it's all downhill after 30. Really wish I had taken him serious because he was not lying. Hashtag team massager and heating pads at Shanae at Mike Golick Jr.
Oh, goodness. I use those too. I just don't tell them that all the time.
But that's fine. We're going to live our truth out here in public right now. And coming up next, we had a very high-profile quarterback living his truth publicly on a lot of subjects. Why this one particular truth may be the best one for business. We'll get to that next. Shanae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
You agree with Cam Newton that he can still be a starter in the NFL?
You look at him last year, and I just think he's taking too many shots.
They don't want to go out in the manner that they left the field last year.
Shanae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Shanae and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Shanae Gwumakay. Not wanting to go out that way, I think, applies to two people in this Patriot conversation. And we will get to that, because getting to hear Cam Newton and a couple of other current former pros, I'll say current for Cam right now, we're not going to push him out of the league, was really fascinating. There were a lot of interesting subjects they hit on, but anytime you touch New England, things start to get serious. But I have to address this tweet from Ken Corsack on Twitter, tweeted at Tanae and at Mike Golic Jr. We were talking about back heating pads generally being washed and all those things that come with aging with our good friend Cassidy Hoverth, who I would dispute is not washed, but makes use of the heating pad lifestyle. And Ken Corsack tweets, I'm 43 and I don't have a heating pad or a massager. Time to get back in the gym and get things on the up and up again. Clean up the diet and get back in the gym. Just got to find something else to compete in. You know what? With all due respect right now, you don't know my life. I am trying my best to handle business in those other places, and unfortunately, the years of abusing my body have manifested themselves in some ways. I didn't play long enough to where I need to deal with any serious injury. I have skated that portion of things by being just good enough to get there and just bad enough to get cut pretty early on in that process, but I get to avoid most of those things right now. Yes, I will occasionally indulge in a half a dozen donuts on a Saturday because of seasonal affective disorder. That is how I cope with life. What? Oh, yeah, and the wine. And a lot, just way too much wine as of this quarantine. But who among us, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what else is your go-to? Like, what is it, Cheez-Its? Like I know your diet.
Love Cheez-Its, by the way. Great. Great group of people right there that we support, or I support at least, around these parts. Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And speaking of support, let's hear it for Cam Newton, who we know,
yes,
1 year deal, free agent this offseason right now, was talking, and this was on the I Am Athlete podcast, which is super interesting in its own right. Hearing him, Ocho Cinco, and some other guys chop it up about great stories of players they played with, but Cam Newton decided to talk about a coach that he played with in Bill Belichick and what it's like playing for him, something that a lot of people had questions about, especially after the Tom Brady-Bill Belichick split. Here was Cam on the I Am Athlete podcast.
I think Bill Belichick is the most misunderstood person in all of
100%, 1,000%.
He dope.
Yeah.
He is a cool dude. He understands the game. He's like an historian of the game. And for you to just sit down and chat with him, like, it's like, damn, like, he's going back and he's got film, like, literally teaching the game. Like,
what's his right-hand man name?
Ernie.
Earned,
man, he's a genius.
Ernie, I forget his last name, is actually considered like one of the godfathers of modern NFL analytics for the people that think the Patriots don't use that kind of stuff. They're wrong. That was the I Am Athlete podcast with Brandon Marshall and Chad Johnson. Who is that, Cliff?
His name is Ernie Adams. Thank you, Jerry.
Ernie Adams, yes, one of the godfathers of analytics in the NFL. But, Janae, we heard that they're smart business, I think, by Cam Newton. The Patriots are going to need a quarterback this upcoming year. Cam's going to need a job. And so, yes, he may mean this, but it never hurts to get this out there either.
What are you talking about? He was just speaking his truth. The same way this is a safe space for athletes to talk here on ESPN, that's a safe space amongst athletes, his brothers. And so I feel like he's telling the truth because you know this, Junior. You can have a coach, and a coach can find different ways to motivate you and your squad to win. Maybe someone's really good with situational, whether it's football or just X's and O's when it comes to the court. Maybe your coach is like one of those galvanizers that can motivate you and be like that psychotherapist that gets you to take your game to the new heights. Maybe your coach is a developer, or maybe your coach is someone that knows how to break down the game in a way that is like a professor and a teacher. And I feel like what Cam Newton was basically alluding to was that Bill Belichick, in his experience for a year with the Patriots, was that type of professor in a way that maybe he didn't get it from other coaches or like didn't experience. Not saying that the other styles are bad, it just is that this is a style that sort of resonated with him this year. So yeah, I mean, we all know this about Bill. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can find success. But here to hear it from Cam, I kind of liked it because a lot of times people leave their teams on bad notes and probably not happy with the coach for wanting to move in a different direction. You're getting the opposite of that, so I'm here for it.
And that relationship always seemed to be good. Bill was also very complimentary of Cam in public this year in a way that people often noted maybe wasn't the case with Tom, trying to make a
very
new player feel welcome there. But, Janae, we also heard Bill Belichick described as dope in this spot, and we know that made its way around the network early in the morning a lot here. Janae, what are the politics of the word dope? Like, how often are we allowed to use this? Because it feels
Don't
like a very
it.
Tough thing to
Don't okay. use it too often. It's a good word to spread. Sprinkle in here or there to show that you know you with the people, you with the culture, you with the trends, but don't overuse that word because then it starts making me feel weird as a generation that sort of made that word, and now it's like, dang, it's gone public. Like, it was cute when it was private, but now it's gone super public. Bill Belichick is dope. Cool, leave it at that. Bet.
Very cool.
Oh, gosh. Bet. There's another one.
Bet probably still works. Cam Newton, pretty much cool with anything that he says, as long as he's not typing it out in that weird Wingdings font. Everything else plays in that, especially when it is, again, praise of Bill Belichick, who we know could still be his coach this upcoming year if things work out right. But coming up next, Chinchin Angola Jr., we'll get back to the news about Tiger Woods, what you need to know in the latest on his health status next here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinchin Angola Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.